Yeah, it's pretty amazing that we've made it through December. Can you say amen to that? Amen. December's an interesting time, isn't it? I don't know about you, but I've noticed that there's such a powerful range of emotions that come, all kinds of emotions. Some people just absolutely love this time. Others, not so much. And some of us, it's a real mixture. I mean, just, you know, it's one of those times where at one moment you're laughing with someone, the next moment you're praying and they're crying because of what all this brings and all this might mean. I think some of us, it's a struggle to get through sometimes December. We have to be honest about the fact that there's so much around us that wants to communicate the amazing message of all the stuff with family and friends and food. And I mean, who would have thought that the Food Network would become a Christmas tradition, right? And all the things that we see going on around us. The things I look forward to is moments like this. Last night was an absolutely amazing, majestic night. If you missed our Christmas Eve service, it was pretty amazing what the Lord did in both the services. Can I tell you, I'm not crazy about December. You know, I want you to know that there's parts of it, like I say, I absolutely love and I look forward to, and there's other parts of it that I have struggled with. It's interesting because I didn't grow up with Christmas. I grew up with Hanukkah, and Hanukkah is a little different, and then Christmas came after becoming a believer, and I absolutely adore Christmas. But I've noticed that over the years, things have sort of stolen that moment that I still remember when I first became a believer. I still remember Lois and I, we were in Fresno, and we had just, we were just engaged, just brand new engaged. Can you imagine that? We were young and engaged once. And we went to a midnight mass together at a Lutheran church, right? And it was like absolutely amazing. I still remember the fog and going through and just the worship and then just continue to enjoy those moments. And at that point, it wasn't quite as commercial and it wasn't as pressured. And it just, I don't know, for me, it's different today than it was then. And it's not that I'm giving up on December or Christmas, but I feel like there's a battle for us to reclaim what God really wants for us at this time of the year. You know, there's just so much going on, and I think, I don't know about you, but you go to the mall at the wrong time, it's packed, and trying to find a parking space was ridiculous, right? You have that, and everyone lines up down the middle of the aisles now, right? So I'm down there because they're doing construction, right? Everyone plans this so well. They plan this construction right at the right time in the mall. So they take out away half the parking spaces right at the busiest time of the year. And so you're sitting there and everyone's buying. And I watched people literally cut around people to get into a parking spot. And you just thought, wow, all the impatience. I was at Costco. Did you love Costco? I thought, I'm going to go have this, Lois and I are going to go have a fun time together. I got an amazing wife, we're going to go enjoy time. And I still remember driving. Any of you ever, you know how you kind of, when you come into there's a spirit of a place. You know, we pray that when you come in the parking lot here, there's just a sense of the presence of God. The minute you come on the campus here, there's all so much prayer goes on. I walked onto the parking lot of Costco and felt the spirit of tension. I mean, you kind of walk in there and you get out, you find a parking space and it's like, okay, this is December. And all of a sudden, of course, there's not very, you know, they do a great job with the shopping carts. Thank you guys. But at this point, I grabbed a cart and I got, of course, the one they didn't realize it was going to pull to the left for the rest of my journey. Do you ever get the shopping cart like that where the wheel pulls you to the left or the right or whichever the wrong way is? And of course, you can't find another one. You want to leave that for somebody else. So I spent the next 45 minutes, you know, of course, we filled it up, and nothing worse than a heavy cart that's pulling to the left. Finally get in line, and the lines are way too long. And of course, there's someone behind me who keeps pushing me. And I'm going, you know, what's going on here? And you just want to turn and say, it's not going to go any faster if you push me, right? There's a lot of hurrying going on in December. It really feels that way. And then you got to buy gifts. I think that's the hardest part for me. I think that's one of the reasons I struggle sometimes is the gift part of it, because I'm just convinced I've got to get the right gift. Do you feel like I do? You've got to go out and get the exact right gift. Some of you are so amazing at buying gifts. Thank you for making me look shameful. I mean, you too. I mean, I just love it that some people are so personal. They do so amazing. I mean, that's probably one of the things I'm concerned about, because I have people I love, I care about, and I want that gift to reflect how much they love me, how much I love them, and yeah, how much they love me. Yeah. How much they're going to love me afterwards. You just got to give the perfect gift, right? It's like we just got a gift, a Hanukkah gift, a moment. I can't believe you how thankful I was. They gave us a gift for the dog. I should have brought it. It was a dreidel, a big dreidel. So when you squeeze it, it's for the dog. When she chews it, it plays a dreidel song. By the way, Sophie sent you a thank you note. And I've been so thankful that we get to hear that song over and over and over. I'm going to think of the moments every time my dog's playing now. I mean, that's the kind of gift you want to give, right? So that people remember you. I went on and I did find the ideal gift. I actually have a picture of it. I went on the internet because I just thought, well, actually, this is the gift you should get me. I went on, I found an Advent calendar, because we did Advent this year, which is an amazing time. And you know Porsche, you know, the people who produce cars, they have an Advent calendar that you can buy. They made 5 of them. There's 24 windows in this Advent calendar. So I want you, it's only $1 million. And they made 5 of them, one for each continent that they would sell on. And so when you open up, I mean, here's an actual picture of it. It's brushed aluminum. You can go online and find it. I mean, if you want to give me that gift, it's still time. I don't think anyone's bought one yet in the United States. But you get a one-of-a-kind gold watch, a custom-designed Porsche-designed kitchen. You get a custom-made yacht. It's designed by Porsche in their Austria factory. You get 2 pair of 18-karat gold sunglasses. And, I mean, on it goes. Is that amazing? Is this not the perfect gift? I think about that, and again, is that what this is about? Materialism is kind of on steroids right now. I mean, you think about how much we're focused on this. And as I was just looking at all this and having fun with it and thinking about this, I thought, what would be the best gift ever? I really believe God's given us an amazing gift. It's called the Word of God. And I look at God's Word and what He's brought to us. So I'd like for you and I to open up a few packages and share some gifts this morning. So I've asked some people to help me. Who's got that first package? Would you stand up? Who's got the first? There we go, okay. This is a gift to all of us, but to you in particular. And you're going to unwrap it, and Pastor Sean, you're going to get right next to her, and she's going to read this, and I'm all just rip. Oh, man, just rip that thing open. Yeah, we wrapped that well for you, didn't we? You've had all morning to practice. So.
Oh, wow.
All scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be complete, thoroughly equipped for every good work. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17.
Get some of that? Pretty amazing when you look at that and you read that. That is a gift that God gives us. You think about it, all scripture, everything that's contained in here, there's nothing of an exception that was given, literally breathed by God. the idea of inspiration, the idea that tells us that it was given to us and that it is of benefit for our life and how to live life, how to change life, how to be encouraged in life. I mean, when you think about every time you and I open up Scripture and read God's Word, there's something relevant for us. And it's something that when I first became a believer, I opened up the Word of God, it touched my life. And here we are, almost 45 years later, I open up the Word of God, and it still touches my life. Can you say amen to that? It never stops. And I want you and I to begin to just lay that as a foundation of how very important it is that we understand the Word of God is an absolute gift that comes to every one of us. So we're going to look at some of these gifts. I'd like to open up the next present. We have a second gift here. Who's got the second one, if you'll stand? Here we go, Patricia. Gift number two.
Love. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. John 3:16.
Give some amen to that.
Amen.
Wow. Isn't it amazing how much God loves us? Because it says he so loved the world that he gave us his only begotten Son. You know, it's crazy that we say that and it rolls right out of us. And sometimes we forget how very powerful that is, John 3:16. That is the absolute amazing gift that it says, whoever believes in him. I want you to think about that for a second, because the world today has changed the concept of the word belief. What does that mean? When that was written, the idea of believes in him literally means to receive him. It's talking about to be committed to him, to have surrendered to him. Today, we can believe in a lot of things, and we can have belief in a lot of different things. This isn't that kind of belief. This is a statement that says we have received him into literally the depths of our heart, into our soul, as the only begotten Son. And that's how much he loves us, that he would do that for us. What an amazing gift. That's the hope that we have for the future. This is a gift that lasts forever. When you think about it, there's very few things that will last forever, right? Jesus lasts forever. Eternity lasts forever. God's gift to us lasts forever. You know, gifts are sometimes a bit of a struggle. I love the fact that when God gives us this gift, there's no strings attached.
Right.
Think about it. The biggest problem with gifts is expectations. Isn't it? Right? And you think about what might be the expectations. We have expectations. I think the concept of giving a gift has to do with a lot of our perceptions. And, you know, you give a gift, what are they going to think about it? What are they going to think about me? What am I going to think about them? I mean, how they open the gift is critical, right? I mean, you watch every move they make, right? And so that's important. Like, if you open the gift too quickly, you want to slow them down. I spent weeks finding this gift. Do not go through it too quickly. There's an expectation that when they open it, their eyes are going to get big and they're going to go, wow, I've waited my entire life for this gift. And you begin to feel that sense of expectation that comes. You know, disappointment is caused by unmet expectations. Disappointment is cured by realistic expectations. You know, and I think what you and I need to understand is what has the Lord given us is something very real, something that is very amazing. There's a story of someone who went to, talking about expectations, who went to a pet store, and he would live by himself, and he was feeling his apartment, the place he was living, was a little bit too quiet. And so he thought, what I need is a bird in here that would bring song. Right? So he thought, I'm going to go buy a singing parakeet. And so he decided that he would go, went to the store owner and found the perfect parakeet for him. He bought the cage, he bought the bird seed, bought everything that he needed. and he set it everything up, and that first night he came home, beautiful music. The parakeet sang. He was like, his whole place was full of just this music that was coming, and he went up to just enjoy the parakeet, and he noticed this parakeet only has one leg. And he thought, well, there's something wrong here. He actually felt a little cheated. So he called the store back and said, look at what's going on here. You sold me a parakeet that only has one leg. The stoner responded back to him, what do you want? A bird who can sing or a bird who can dance? What are your expectations? Got to be careful expectations, amen? Gift number three. Let's open up gift number three. Who's got a gift? All right, Larry, come on. There we go.
The gift of hope. This letter is from Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, appointed by the command of God and our Savior in Christ Jesus, who gives us hope. 1 Timothy 1:1.
The gift of hope. Paul here says in his letter to a church that Jesus Christ is our hope. Why are you downcast, my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Psalmist says, hope in God. God willed to make known what the riches of the glory of his mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. What does it mean to have Christ as our hope? The Word of God reminds us that we have hope, and here's something very simple I want you to connect with. We have hope because of the absolute promises that God gives us. Amen. His word to us isn't a maybe, it might happen, but you and I have hope because his word is absolute. You understand the word absolute? 100%. No doubt, no question. You think about how can we have hope in anything? Well, in order to have hope, there's a need to have a sense of certainty, a sense of confidence. And every time that God teaches us about hope that we can have, he talks about the confidence that we can have, the assurance that we have, the absolute, concrete word that we have. Our hope is in a clear, absolute certainty that one day salvation will be realized and we will go to heaven and be with him for all eternity. Can you say amen to that? That's something that you and I, you think about it, in the darkest of times when you read God's word and understand it, when everyone hit rock bottom, that's when God used the prophets of the Old Testament. He brought the word of God to them and said, don't worry, don't lose hope, he would say, because I'm going to bring you a rescue, a rescuer. I'm going to bring hope to you that someday it's going to be better. In the darkest moment, we talked about this last night, there's going to be light. The day is now. The day of the Lord's coming to you is now. And just like in the days of Moses, the very presence of God would overshadow the tent of meeting where Moses would meet with God. So God's presence is going to overshadow you in such a way that you give birth. And the word spoke of Mary, who would have this amazing gift that would come into her womb, that would be a miraculous conception, that would bring hope to the entire world. And how is it that we can have hope? It's because that was a certainty. And here's the message of this, that no matter how dark, how big the struggle, how tough the time is, God says, you know what? In the darkest moment, I am going to bring light. When you go through the tough times, you're struggling with a loss. You're struggling with the first Christmas that you're without a loved one or a change in situation, or the things that can happen in life. And we begin to wonder, is there any hope? Here's the word of God. God says, I can create something new in you. I can do something refreshing and restoring and powerful in you if you'll let me bring hope into your life. If you'll trust me, give your life to me. And you know what? Then it's all going to be different. What an amazing gift. God brings us hope. The fourth gift is equally powerful. Who's got our fourth gift? Help me out. Gift number four. All right.
The gift of life. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me will live even though he dies. And whenever or whoever lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? Yes, Lord, she told him. I believe that you are the Christ, the Son of God, who was to come into the world. John 11:25-27.
You see a man of that? Yes. The gift of life. I mean, you understand that he is saying, I am the resurrection and I am the life. So here's what he's saying. It's really simple. If you believe in me, again, you can have not only life, but there's resurrection life. And resurrection life can come today and it can come in the future. You think about how God can raise up something that might be dead in us, but God can do miracles in our lives. Can you say, I've seen marriages resurrected. I've seen families resurrected. I've seen individuals resurrected. There's a tremendous amount of life that God brings if you'll let him. Jesus does some absolutely powerful, amazing things. He says, listen, you get one time on earth. Listen to this. It says in Hebrews, and as is appointed for man to die once, but after this, the judgment. So Christ offered once to bear the sins of many. To those who eagerly wait for him, he will appear a second time, apart from sin, for salvation. So here's what that says. We get one shot at this. And then the day's going to come when we get everything new again. Isn't it great we're going to get a brand new body? Can you say amen to that? You won't need, like I had, you know, hip surgery. You won't have arthritis. You won't have all the things that can come into a person's life. All of a sudden, look what it says. For we know that if our earthly house, this tent, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, eternal in the heavens. This body that we have goes away and we get a brand new body. That's a gift from God. Can you say amen to that? That's pretty exciting. It depends upon where you are in life. It gets more exciting. God brings life to us. He brings us life today. He brings us life tomorrow. And you begin to think of the amazing gift that he brings. What was being spoken of here in John reminds us that we can have gift at any point, and the gift of life at any point. I just think of all the things that, you know, we struggle with and the things that can come into our lives. And it's so neat to be able to offer to someone prayer and hope that says, you know what? There still can be life. Don't give up. Don't give up. God still has that job for you. You know, God's gonna bring that healing to you. God has life. That's what makes being a believer so cool. That's what makes my job so absolutely amazing. I got the best job ever. I get a chance to bring encouragement to people and say, you know what? Hang in there. Life's coming. You can do this. Here's some of that. Let's do the next one. Number five. Who's got that? There we go. All right. You know, this is just like home.
The gift of forgiveness. I acknowledge my sin to you, and my iniquity I have not hidden. I said, I will confess my transgressions to the Lord, and you will forgive me the iniquity of my sin. Psalm 32, 4 through 5.
I think forgiveness is one of the most amazing gifts that we can receive. You think about all the things that can happen in life and relationships, things that are said or done, and with the spoken word, I forgive you, things change. To hear the words that God says, I forgive you, everything changes. The scripture tells us that we have an opportunity to have something new and different in our lives because of the gift of forgiveness. I mean, perhaps in some ways that's the most amazing gift that we give to the people we love and care for. Because has anyone ever said something really dumb to you? Have you ever had a family member like do the wrong thing, say the wrong thing? Have you ever been offended or insulted? Have you ever, you know, been hurt? I mean, how many of us have, you know, I mean, we don't have to raise our hands, but probably how many who hasn't had that happen, right? What do you do with that? It's interesting because forgiveness is absolutely critical in our journey, because when you think about the importance of that, listen to Matthew chapter 6. If you forgive those who sin against you, your heavenly Father will forgive you. But if you refuse to forgive others, your Father will not forgive your sins. Doesn't that kind of change the ballgame? It's saying, if you don't forgive, I've heard these words from people, I will never, ever forgive them. I will never, ever let this go. When I hear those words, it literally causes me to just feel this right to the deepest part of my inside because I know what they're saying. You understand, this doesn't mean that we're going to be buddies again. You know, when you forgive someone, it doesn't mean that you have to necessarily enter into a relationship with them again. See, we make a lot of mistakes about this. Forgiving is absolutely critical because, first of all, if you don't forgive, then the word makes it very clear, your heavenly Father will not forgive you. If you are not forgiven, then you don't go to heaven. How tragic is that? Because we can't let go. Forgiveness is such a powerful gift. I've seen lives literally turn upside down because of unforgiveness. I see it happen in school. I see it happen at work. I see it happen in families. I see it happen just across the board, and how powerful it is. I've had people say to me, well, I can't forgive. I said, well, you may not be able to forgive, but Christ in you can help you to forgive. See, that's part of living our life as believers, is receiving not only the gift we have, but also to give this amazing gift. Forgiveness is absolutely a powerful thing that we come to a time of Christmas, we ought to think about how powerful it is. You know, there's a lot of things that we really can't fix, but forgiveness can really fix a lot of things. Pretty amazing, isn't it? All you got to do is say, I forgive you. I forgive. Say that with me. Just say the words, I forgive. One, two, three. I forgive. Try it one more time. I forgive. I want to make sure I scan and make sure no one blows up. You're smiling. You know how much struggle I see in my, and I have in my ministry when I've said to someone, just say the words. I've had people sitting in my office looking at you and say, just say the words. Look at this person, just say the words, I forgive. And you would think I was asking them to say something horrible. And I mean, I've literally watched people pour out in sweat over this. I've watched people shake over it and cry and have tremendous anxiety. And then I watch a miracle. Because they'll go through all this and then they look at that person. Just had this just about a couple months ago. Someone looked at someone that they cared about and said, I forgive you. That way. Very intense. I forgive you. Because Pastor Steve said, I have to forgive you. And then I said, okay, you said it. The other person's looking at him like, great, this is not helping. And then the tears came, and the person said, no, really, I forgive you. And a miracle happened. There's something that God can do that is so absolutely amazing. Let's go to our last gift, number 6.
The gift of grace. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. For we are his workmanship, created in Christ Jesus for good works, which God prepared beforehand that we should walk in them. Ephesians 2:8-10.
Is amen of that?
Amen.
I love grace. I love saying the word grace. Say that word with me. Grace. Isn't it a great word? Grace is all over the Bible. We are saved by grace. We have all that we have because of God's grace. You know, grace is defined as unmerited favor. We all know, if you don't know, you don't earn your salvation. You don't perform it, you earn it. It doesn't come by something that you work towards. It is given to you as a gift. God says it's a gift of his grace. You know, it's interesting that at the time that was written in the culture, the word grace, charismata, that was used here was understood as a word that meant when someone was weaker, someone stronger comes and helps them. The very culture understood it as, I'm stronger, you're weaker, I'm going to help you. Here's something that I have by way of a gift for you when I think of grace. Okay, so now listen to this. You are successful enough. You can relax. You have earned enough money. You can relax. You have done enough now. Relax. Because what God has for you, none of that matters. We live in a world where we are striving to be successful, to accomplish. So I want you, you're talented enough. You're tall enough. Everything is enough if you would just recognize that God has brought something to you that is absolutely graceful. And I think we forget, we live in such a performance-oriented world, so much is performance-oriented. We've even tried to find the word salvation. I heard someone say, yeah, I was saved economically. You know, have you heard that? God, I was saved economically. I've been saved physically. I mean, there's all kinds of ways that we're even redefining and using the word. And here's what grace is saying to you. I stop. You've done enough. Matter of fact, you've done more than enough. Matter of fact, what you've done really doesn't matter. Because everything I've given to you is because of what I've already done for you. My grace is sufficient. I have a gift for you. Relax. Enjoy the grace of God. You don't have to strive for it. You don't have to work for it. God says, I've got it for you. I have this amazing gift for you. You don't have to be so strong-willed. You know, I raised 3 boys, proud of my 3 sons, and they're all kind of strong-willed. You know, I still remember, you have moments you just don't forget when with your boys, and I had one of my boys, I won't name him, but he was about 4 years old and riding his tricycle. And a 4-year-old strong-willed young man at 4 years old wants to ride his tricycle wherever he wants to ride his tricycle. And for safety reasons, I, as the safety officer of our family, knew that I had to kind of control this thing. So I remember it was a summertime. We had to go out. We were in Portland. I went out and I said, listen, here's the tree. Here's the edge of the driveway. Here's our sidewalk. Do not go beyond these boundaries. And I still remember, listen, son, if you go beyond any of these boundaries, I'm going to spank you. I'm going to put the fear of God in him. Fear of dad. So I'm going to go back in the house, and I've got these windows. I'm watching. If you ride beyond these boundaries, I'm coming out, and there's going to be a spanking. Strong-willed son. He's not intimidated. I'll never forget. He just looked at me and stuck his little butt out. I said, well, Dad, you better spank me now because I got places to go. I think of that, and I think of us, the human condition, rebellious, not wanting to conform to what God has spoken to us, not willing to be obedient to the Word of God, strong-willed, and somehow we interpret that as somehow being the new normal. I want you to know, God's never going to allow for a new normal. God makes it very clear in His Word that we are to be obedient, we are to be submissive. And I want you to know, you can't redefine the Word of God. The world is trying to redefine God's standards. It's working overtime right now to redefine the standards and the boundaries of faith and our practice of faith. I want you to know, God hasn't changed anything. God will not change anything. I was thinking of some words we struggle with. Pride, judgment, apathy, greed, envy, lust, unfaithfulness, deceitful, promise-breaking, cruel, cowardly, stubborn, self-centered, careless, joyless, complaining, loveless. Great words. Does anyone relate to any of those words? Here's what grace understands. God, I realize I've neglected you in your ways. God, I realize I've ignored you and your way of life. Here's what grace says back. I love you. I have hope for you. I have a promise for you. I have life for you. I have grace. I have forgiveness. So come into the light. Even though any of this might be part, I want to invite you to come home and receive the best gift ever. Coming around the table reflects the best gift ever. Receiving communion on Christmas morning, taking hold of all of this now is centered right around the table. Look what the scripture says. It says, while they were eating, Jesus took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave it to the disciples, saying, take and eat, this is my body. And when he took the cup, he gave thanks and offered it to them, saying, drink from it, all of you. This is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine from now on until that day when I drink it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. It says, they went out and sung a hymn to the Mount of Olives. God has the best gift of all. Have you received the gift that God has for you? Have you allowed that to become a part of who you are? on Christmas. Will you bow your heads with me?